Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we are looking into the soul of the matter. Yeah, we're continuing our discussion the early part of this day about the whole notion of humanoids receiving souls. Let me ask you something. What is your preference? What would your preference be? Let's look 7 years down the road. Okay, so we're in 2018. So let's say it 2025. Let's just kind of look down the road. Let's just kind of try to put ourselves there. I mean, you know, time is moving by fast enough that it's not that difficult to see ourselves 7 years down the road. So 2025, we are dealing with technology, and I think it's probably, we could all agree, it's safe to assume that technology will be much more advanced then than it is even now. And we know that people are developing the technology such that people have not only smartphones now, but smart homes. And so your refrigerator can tell you what's, you know, what you have short supply of, what you have plenty of. It can send information to the grocery store so that they know what you need and can send it to you. That's pretty smart. Your bath water can be set to start running automatically at a set time, set temperature, and on it goes. They have the gizmos that allow us to talk to a machine, tell it to turn on the radio and PlayStation WTHB. And it'll turn the WTHB. We can talk to that gizmo and tell it, hey, you know what? I need to know what the weather report's going to be this weekend in such a state. And it will tell us the weather forecast for that state for that weekend. I mean, there's just so much that technology is already doing. Artificial intelligence is already doing. So let's say we're still now in 2025, though. Even further advances, more advances in the technology. Would you prefer to just be able to talk to your technology, but it not talk back? It do what you ask it to do or tell it to do, but it not be able to talk back? Or do you prefer that it be able to actually converse with you? Tell you when your thinking is a little off, your attitude isn't quite right, your position isn't quite right. Maybe you should consider this instead of, and I mean, and actually enter into conversation with the artificial intelligence. That may be wrapped up in the form of a humanoid made to look like a human. What's too much for you? Do you think that the technology experts are phasing in these advances gradually enough that you'd be okay with it no matter where the technology is by 2025? You could walk in and into your home, and the artificial intelligence in your home says, hello, so-and-so. It is good to have you back. It's good to have you home. How was your day? And you start telling the artificial intelligence how your day was. Whether the artificial intelligence is buried somewhere in the house and you never even see it, in the walls, the ceiling, wherever it would be, and you never see it, but you hear it, it sees you and hears you. How about if you're hearing it in some kind of way, it could show up, an image could show up virtually, a virtual image disappear in your living room while you and your artificial intelligence are talking with each other. Now you don't see it, now you do. You can make it appear when you want to. You can program it to appear when it wants to, and hopefully you'll never lose control. Hopefully you'll always be in control. Ladies and gentlemen, what's your preference? Where do you see this going? Is it going in places you don't want it to go? Do you like what you see? Are you excited about it in a positive way? Are you stressed? Where are you? Well, how about if you came home one day? Because, you know, sometimes they talk about how a lot of our dogs know when we're upset, and they can try to comfort us, console us, soothe us. What if you walked in looking all down, shoulders drooping, face down? I mean, you're obviously in bad shape emotionally. And your artificial intelligence picked up on that and started trying to comfort you. Okay, all right. What about this? What if when you got home from work or from church or from the park, from the country club, wherever you got home from, you walked in and you were cool. Everything was fine. For the most part, you had really had a great day. But for whatever the reason, maybe some kind of bug got into the program. And for whatever the reason, your artificial intelligence was in a bad mood. And you walk into the house and you're waiting for the AI, the artificial intelligence, or the humanoid to do what it normally does, greet you very warmly, and it doesn't. And so finally you decide, well, hey, I'll go ahead and speak first this time. So you say, hi, whatever you call your artificial intelligence, your humanoid, and it just ignores you. You say hi again a few minutes later, just making sure that the AI is actually hearing you. Still no response. And so you say, so-and-so, whatever name you call it, I've said hi to you twice, and you haven't responded either time. What's going on? Can't you see I'm not in the mood for talking right now? What are the chances that the artificial intelligence could cop an attitude the way humans cop attitudes? They went fine till you got home because your AI had an attitude. Remember now, the folks who are creating these things and developing them are trying to make them as human-like as possible. Yeah, so what are the chances that they will give these rascals only our strengths with none of our flaws, weaknesses? All right, we're looking again at what BBC is sharing with us, particularly by Brandon Ambrosino. We're looking at what's happening with these souls. I mean, I'm talking about the AI copying an attitude, and that's something that creatures with souls can do. We can be warm, we can be obnoxious. We can be warm, we can be cold. We can be agreeable, we can be disagreeable, we can be honorary. And that's often the way it is with creatures that have souls. Should we even consider bringing about the day where artificial intelligence will have souls? Early iterations of AI were successful at performing the limited specific tasks that its creators assigned it. The idea was that if there existed in the human brain solutions to real-world problems, then these solutions could also exist on a computer. The prevailing theory was symbolic artificial intelligence, symbolic AI. Complex human activities called, according to Herbert Simon, could be explained, quote-unquote, in terms of organized systems of simple information processes, symbol manipulating processes, he says. So based on that assumption, Simon predicted AI will be able to formulate programs that simulate step by step the non-numerical symbol manipulating processes that humans use when they memorize syllables, acquire new concepts, or solve problems. The problem with the assumption driving this research is that it overlooked the embedded nature of intelligence, preferring instead to concentrate on the computer as an individual actor, according to Noreen Hertzfeld, who's professor of theology and computer science, and wrote the book entitled In Our Image. In Our Image. Remember, we were made in God's image. We humans were made in God's image. And the implication is that now humans want to make artificial intelligence in our image. As we now understand, intelligence emerged in Homo sapiens out of social necessity and through human encounter, and it makes little sense outside of the realm of social interaction. How about this? Intelligence emerged in Homo sapiens out of social necessity. It emerged. How many of you would say, well, if you look at it from that perspective, from a given perspective, maybe it could be argued that intelligence emerged in Homo sapiens and out of social necessity. But a lot of us who read the biblical account of creation would say, wait a minute, hold on. Because from what we were told, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And so from what we gather, man was created intelligent. I mean, think about this. I mean, most of us, there are so many who say that creation came about as a result of efforts by an intelligent being. It makes sense to me that an intelligent creator would, when creating humans in his own image and likeness, would create them intelligent. And I think that we get an indication, we see a demonstration of that intelligence when God brings all the creatures to Adam, the first man, the first human ever created, first one on the earth, and say, hey, look, I want you to name all these creatures. And they pass by Adam, and he just come up with them, just giving them names, just giving them names, giving them names. Now, very often when we look at creatures and we call them something, whether we call them giraffe, we call them elephant, we call them porpoise, we call them turtle, we're usually finding out what someone else has decided they would be called, and we're calling them that. We're recalling, we're remembering what was already given to them as a name, and we're calling that name. Adam, having never been in existence before, had all these many, many creatures brought to him, and on the spot, he was just giving them their names, appropriate names, mind you. To me, that speaks of intelligence. He and his wife, how many of you have said, man, you know, I sure wish there were some books out here on how to raise children. And really and truly, a lot of times people were saying there are no books on how to raise children. And when they were saying that, I mean, for decades people were saying that. And there were books out on how to raise children. Not all of them good, but a lot of them were good. And there were books out on that. And people had done some research and they found out some of the best practices of child rearing and all of that. They learned from psychologists and others who gave some tips, some clues on how to successfully raise productive children. When Adam and Eve were created, there were no children, not one. They were going to have to know how that baby was to be fed. They were going to have to know how that baby was to be changed. They were going to have to know how to pick up on the cues that the baby was giving as to what his or her needs would be. No books anywhere. No journal articles anywhere. They were going to have to walk it out on their own with no prior research or prior experience from anyone. And they pulled it off. That says to me, they were created with intelligence. and that the intelligence did not emerge. There may have been some peaks and valleys along the way with regards to human intelligence, but for the most part, we were created with the intelligence, and that was passed on, passed into the generations that followed. Let's look at this some more when I come back, because this has to do with soul, the soul of AI. Be back in a few minutes.